Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Weed. Doug is the author of Inside Trump's White House. Nobody has covered presidents and their families and their first ladies as much as Doug has over the last several decades. Doug, thanks again for being here. What is it? What would you like for us to know about what's inside the Trump White House that we don't know? That we don't know. What would we want to know? Give us the most impactful thing that, you know, we're on an elevator, we're going up six floors. What would you like to tell us before we get off?
Well, what surprised me was how calculated the president is. I mean, he blows up NATO, but he rebuilds it better and bigger than ever. He blows up NAFTA. Bigger and better than ever. There's a method to his madness. I think it was Sun Tzu that is wrongly attributed with the quote, out of chaos comes opportunity. But that's certainly been the case with Donald Trump. There's no way that Joe Biden, if he became president of the United States, is going to reverse NATO. He's not going to get back, refund right. All that money, and say, oh, we're sorry. Or neither will he go back to NAFTA, which was 17,000 pages of corruption. In fact, the president said to me in his interviews, he said, think of this, the Bible is 1,000 pages and NAFTA is 17,000 pages long, which means nobody on earth has ever read it.
Right.
It's filled with corruption. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take 17,000 pages to write free trade. There's just so much in the book Inside Trump's White House that just opened my eyes.
Well, and now we come back to our original point about the media. They covered, I guess, that there was NAFTA, that there was the USMCA, but they didn't cover the fact that it was a big improvement. I have here on my show many times, but here's another thing. Well, one of the things about Trump, and there's many things about him that annoy me, and I reported on this long before he was president. So I'm not a hypocrite here, but there are things that I don't like about Mr. Trump. What I like about him is he's a problem solver. And what you described about NAFTA and about NATO, those were problems that he saw as needing to be fixed, and he fixed them. What do you think about what he's doing right now in the Middle East with Bahrain, with UAE, with Sudan? I mean, aren't those Nobel Prize-winning steps?
It's just stunning. I mean, It's absolutely stunning. We've never had anything like this. It's been 25 years since we had one country, that was Jordan and President and King Abdullah, and then another 25 years before we had another one, which was Egypt. It's truly stunning. But to me, the media thing, I worked for 40 years in the Republican establishment for the Bush family, and I love them. They're very sweet people. But I very quickly learned and became disillusioned with the power of the monopolies.
Yeah.
They love regulation. They want to drive small business.
They're part of the state. They're part of the state, aren't they? The deep state.
Yes, and they own the media. So Viacom owns CBS, Disney owns ABC. You can Google still find how much money Disney makes off of China. There's no way they're going to back anybody but Biden. There's no way. That's where they make their money. So our socialism, which we will have if that's the way the American people vote, our socialism will be a corporate socialism. It will be similar to Argentina. In Argentina, they had a very prosperous middle class, but the big shots, they got their money out, and the government allowed them to. And then when the middle class tried to get their money out, tender-hearted Argentinians voted to help people. They wouldn't let them. So now they've descended into poverty. And my friends in Argentina say, hey, we can go to America, but when America goes socialist, where are you going to go?
That's exactly right. What about Facebook and Twitter and Google and Amazon? I mean, do you think those are oligarchs And not only that, more than U.S. Steel or the railroads or Henry Ford, they own the First Amendment. I mean, they're manipulating, they're controlling the First Amendment, and that makes them, in my opinion, unprecedentedly more dangerously powerful than any other force in the history of America. What do you think?
Yeah, we're back to that statement that I made earlier. We don't know what we don't know, and they're going to control knowledge. And my daughter, for example, will do a YouTube, and if it's pro-Trump, she'll actually see the count. Let's say it's modest. It's 130 views.
Yeah.
And a few hours later, it'll be 82 views. They actually blatantly pull it down. Occasionally, yeah, it's fascinating.
No, but that's what I mean. They're impacting social media. I mean, a First Amendment. But here's the other thing, Doug, that I worry about. They have the potential to subvert sovereign nations, and they'll do it through cryptocurrency. When they get farther down the road with this in this direction that we may be going in, if those larger tech companies, if they get a cryptocurrency that they're allowed to use in the marketplace. That'll be the end of the dollar, because people will like it. It'll be the end of the dollar, and the end of the dollar means the end of America, I think. What do you think? Last thoughts.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Well, we know the billionaires supported Clinton 20-1. You can still Google that. They're supporting Biden 14-1. You can still Google that.
There's a reason for that,
folks.
He
counts on the small business people.
But you know what? Those billionaires only have one vote, but they have the ability to manipulate things. And I think this is a time for individuals, especially Main Street, to make their voice heard. Tintail right back with Doug Weed. We're going to talk about the future after the break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.